Okay, we are Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. We will start again the Mishnah. Mishnah Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Shnayim Shekitzu Shnei Nashim. Two people were Mekadesh, two women, B'shatzkin Yisrasun L'chuppah. And when they went into the chuppah, Tachlifu Shazel L'zeb, Shazel L'zeb. The Gemara is going to explain unintentionally, down from the word Hechlifu, that it was intentional, and that's going to bother the Gemara. So the Gemara will explain it was unintentional, that they ended up living with the wrong woman. Harelu chayavim mishum eishes ish. They're chayiv because of eishes ish. V'mayachim mishum eishes ach. If their brothers, they're chayiv for eishes ach. If the two brothers marry these two women, so they're not only chayiv for eishes ish, but they're chayiv for eishes ach. V'mayachoyes, if the two women were sisters, mishum ishul achoysa, you can add achoys isha. V'mayinidus, mishum nida. They separate them 3 months before they can go to their real husband. Shem and Mubarak say maybe they're pregnant and the baby's a mamzer. So we have to ascertain, because if they go back right away to their husband, we won't know who the father is. Is the kid legitimate or is the kid illegitimate? Rashi Mafrish and Isaac Gimel Chadashim. Not to go back to their husband. Shem and Mubarak say maybe they're pregnant, but they're mamzerim and their kids are illegitimate. Right, we wanted a clarification. We want to be clear between kosher children and non-kosher children. We don't want that the woman should say, oh, this is from my husband, not from the one I lived with in sin. Again, unintentional, but mamzeris is a reality. And therefore, we want to make clear that this kid is, because if not, it gets confusing, and people will, the women will claim it's a kosher kid, and it might not be a kosher kid.
Rabbi Yitzchak?
I what?
Rabbi Yitzchak?
Why not? 3 months is 3 months. Gemara Kasha.
Rabbi Yitzchak?
Yes.
I hear all the other things. Why do I have to tell Mishnah telling me about somebody who's in Nida? I mean, that's Davar Yaduvas. Like, I don't need the Mishnah to tell me that.
Has to do with Yitzchak HaLalitzer, the Gemara will explain. If they're under the age that they can give birth, so there's no reason to separate because there's no pregnancy. No, don't worry about it. You're a kayin. If you leave, I won't have anybody here. You're a banish loyal. He's here all the time. And if they were kahanis, they go back, they're pasul from truma. The Gemara will explain what it means is, if they're bas kayin and they have this relationship. Now, I want to explain this because this is something we're going to hit a number of times in Masechtas Yevamos. The title Zayna is not a moral title. It's not an ethical title. It is a reality. Any woman that has a relationship with a man that she's not allowed to marry becomes usher to kahuna. That's a fact, and becomes puzzled to eat truma. Not because she was intentional, not because she's a bad lady, but because that's what happened. She had this relationship. It might have been totally innocent, in this case in our Mishnah, but the reality is she had a relationship with a man that at that point was not able to marry. She had a relationship. She was an Eishes Ish. And therefore, she no longer can marry a kayin ever, and she no longer can eat truma ever. So if she's a bas kayin, and what happens is a bas kayin whose husband dies and there's no children goes back home to eat truma, she can't go back to eat truma because she had this relationship with this man again, albeit it was b'shagig. Nobody intended to do anything wrong. But the reality of that relationship made her into a woman that no longer is eligible for kahuna or for truma. Rashi, Imhoi Kahanis, Bigamar Mepharish.
Is that referring to married husbands?
What do you mean? If he's a kayin, she can't stay married to him. I can explain. If an anxious kayin is Nensa, Rahman al-Islam, an anxious kayin gets forced, somebody forces upon himself, upon her, a guy. Or he is, it makes no difference. He's an anxious ish. She becomes opposite to her husband forever. Because a kayin cannot be married to a woman who had that kind of relationship. Nothing to do with her morals and ethics.
Because she was even...
saying that Even to go back and eat truma, she can't do it. The Gemara is going to explain this. Zog to Gemara, Hechlifu midi bershiyaskinan. It says the word Hechlifu. Seems like they exchanged, they white swapped. Are we talking about Rishoim? When the Mishnah is telling you a story about Rishoim? Vesuha de Tani Rav Chiya Arkan Shesh Esri Chatoas. Rav Chiya says there's 16 Chatoas. Each participant here, there are four participants, there has to bring four Chatoas. One for Echisish, one for Echisach, one for Echisisha, one for Nidam. The four participants, two men, two women. Now, if it's Mazin, even Mazin, Mi'ike Karban, Amar Yehuda Tani Huchlifu. Change it from Hechlifu to Huchlifu. Huchlifu means it happened. Not that it happened intentionally. Achinami Mistabra. It makes sense. The Tani Seifa, Mayik Tana Shein Ruim Leilas Nachzir Naisim Miyad. If the girls were Tanas that are not fit to give birth, they're allowed to take them back. Now, the halacha is, if a woman is Mizana B'mezid, we don't let her go back to her husband. If this would be a case of Echlifu, of wife swapping, that means the woman agreed to have a relationship with a man that's not her husband, she's not allowed to go back to her husband. What does that mean? In Ma'ik Tanis, Ma'zira, Zaisobobat, Miyad. Viva Mazin, Misharia. It's a raya, obviously, that this was not amazing. Ayat says Echlifu. It can be Echlifu. It has to be Huchlifu.
Why? She can tell
us
she can't go back to her husband?
Because Peter Tana, I understand. But Peter Tanis is an Aynas. Meaning, that's not a raya. Because since she was a Ktana, even if she was Mizana B'mezid, she's not ushered to her husband. So therefore, the Mishnah, that part of the Mishnah is not a proof that the Mishnah is talking about a Shagig. Because even if these men were Rishoyim, and they wife-swapped, but the ladies were Ktanais, they would allow to be stay married to their husband's Rishoyim. Very big kiddush here. We don't punish. The only time a woman becomes ushered to her husband is if she's Mizana willingly. But if he's Mizana willingly, she doesn't become ushered to him. So these two men, even if they wife-swapped, but if the women are Ktanais, they're considered like Inus, even though they did it willingly, and they would not become ushered to their husband. So therefore, that is not a raya, that the story in the Mishnah was a mistake. But the next thing is a raya. And let's just finish the next three lines. Can I finish the next three lines? Can I finish the next three lines? Ellen, we brought a raya from Rav Chiya. Now we want to prove it to the Mishnah itself. Here's the right. Ella Diktani, Mafrishin Isis Shlosha Chadashim, Shema Mubarasein. They separate them 3 months, because perhaps they're pregnant. Halab Mubaras. So if they're not pregnant, we wait the 3 months. Sharyan, you go back. Even Mazid Mishari, the first part of the Mishnah. It's not talking about Ketanis. It's talking about adult women. It says you separate them 3 months, because maybe they're pregnant. And after 3 months, they go back? If Mazid, they're allowed to go back? Allah Shmamina, who Shmamina? It's a riot that this Mishnah is a Shagig, not a Mazid. Each participant has to bring four Chatoas, men and women. Because the Chi of Chorus is in all four. Even though the Torah talks to the man, do not live with this woman. But the pasuk says both get karis, so therefore both are chayav chatas. You learn that from the pasuk that says she wasn't forced. Nisbasa muteris. She was forced. She wanted to go back. Right? So shemu mubarasein. Ulaachas shloish chadashim muteris. And after 3 months, it's mutra pishik dailusein, even though they're adult.
Rabbi.
Correct the gemara. Uman haytana. Yes.
What is the point of name of saying? What is the argument saying that these would have required chatas if they were intentional? So why is that a proof of anything? I don't understand why that's brought up. So yes, if it were intentional, it would require all these chatas. But why is that an argument one way or the other?
Chatas is only for unintentional. We're trying to prove that the story in the Mishnah. See, the word Hechlifu literally translates, they swapped, which means they intentionally swapped. We're saying that makes no sense in our Mishnah. Rav Chiya said, each of them has to bring chatois, which doesn't happen when it's done intentionally.
I'm sorry, I had it reversed. I thought that was for an intentional, not an unintentional.
Intentional gets karet. There's nothing to do down here as far as atonement, meaning there's a key of malchus, Besen gives a malchus, but that's it. The chatas is brought when it's done unintentional. Any key of karet that's done unintentionally brings a chatas. So since Rav Chiya talks about each of them bringing chatas, it obviously can't be intentional. That's what we're trying to prove.
Got it, thank you.
And then we prove it from the words in the Mishnah. Since the Mishnah says they are allowed to go back to their husbands after 3 months, it can't be intentional. Had it been intentional, how could we let them go back to their husbands? Any woman that's mizana intentionally becomes prohibited to her husband.
Thank you.
We're proving that the case in the Mishnah is unintentional. And we're changing the word hechlifu to huchlifu. They didn't swap, it got swapped. Meaning it happened unintentionally, not intentionally.
Rippy, every unintentional znus is mutter labal? If she's unfortunately raped and she's allowed to go back to her husband?
If it's a kayin, yes. Unless her husband's a kayin, yes. Every Yisraelis, every woman married to a Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan gets raped, has no prohibition to her husband. It's only if she's a kayin. He's a kayin, sorry. If he's a kayin, then the woman becomes asit to her husband. Not because she did anything wrong. I want to stress that. She didn't do anything wrong. She was a total victim. But the Torah insists that a kayin not be married to a woman who had this kind of a relationship.
Yeah, we had the sugya in Ksubas, like Shvuya and different things. I can't hear you. We had the sugya in Ksubas, which if somebody was a lady was captured, if she's consensual,
she's
non-consensual.
She cannot come back to her husband, correct.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, the fact that the Mishnah listed four, and it said that you bring four chatas, that means Isser was chal al Isser, right? Now, to set up this case, it'll need Kailu, Maisiv, and Batachas. We'll need that Isser is chal al Isser when they're simultaneous, when one adds to the Isser and when one adds to the person. Remember we said Maisiv and Kailu. Maisiv means that the item becomes more Isser. Kailu means that the person becomes more Isser to more items. This Tana, who wrote four chatas, has to hold of all of them. And Rashi will explain to us why that is true. Let's do the Rashi. Uman hai Tana de Masnisan, the Isser chal al Isser, Beinai de Kailu, when the man becomes Isser to more women, Bein be Isser Maisiv, when the woman becomes Isser to more men, or whether it's simultaneous. Tegan Elu. Shechayavim arba chatois. The Shekiddush Ruvain as Rachu Tchila. Okay. When Ruvain was Mekadosh Rachu first, Netzer al Shimon, she became Asa to Shimon, Mishim Eishas Ach, the Eishas Ish. Right? Shimon is Ruvain's brother. So when Ruvain married Rachu, when made Kedushin to Rachu, Rachu is now simultaneously married to a man who happens to be his brother, so two Yisurim are chal simultaneous. Eishes Ach, Eishes Ish. Vahinu Batachas. V'kamechayim leitana didanas havayu. And the Tana said, Reb Chiya said, two chatas. One for Eishes Ach, one for Eishes Ish. Now, they both came simultaneously, and we're saying two, okay? Then, Chazur Shimon v'kiddush Leah. Shimon went and married Leah, who's Rachel's sister. Now, Rachel was ushered to Shimon beforehand. She was an Eishes Ish, and she was an Eishes Ach. Now she becomes his wife's sister. Right? Now she becomes his wife's sister. Why is that chal? The answer is, since he is usher to her other sisters because of this, by marrying Leah, he becomes usher to Rachel and Leah's other sisters. So he becomes usher to more women. That is called Isser Kailu. So therefore, Rachel will become usher to him also for being his wife's sister. This is called Isser Kail. Rachel is not anymore usher. She was usher before as an Eishes Ach and as an Eishes Ish to everybody. Now, Shimon marries her sister. She doesn't become any more usher. But Shimon becomes usher to more women. He's now usher to Rachel and Leah's other sister. So therefore, that's called Isser Kail. Migid the Asri Lahu. Since the Kedushin will Asher Shimon and the rest of the sisters, so now Rachel, who is his brother's wife, also becomes Asher because of his wife's sister, and this Tana holds that Isher Kail puts the third Isher on. So now this woman has three Chatas. She's an Eishes Ish and an Eishes Ach, which happens simultaneously. If Shimon lives with her, now she's Shimon's wife's sister, which also is Chal because of Kail. Behind Isser, Ba'avagav, that Surah Leva Kaim, she was Asa before, behind Isser Kail. Fine. But still, Rachel was Mutter to her husband. At this point, they weren't Madani yet. Ba'adai, Rachel's Umutaris, Ruven Baila. She's an HSS, she's an HSS, she's an Akhaisisha, but Ruven is her husband. Pirsanida. Now she became a Nida. Now, at the point of Nidus, she became Usher to her husband. That is Isser Maisiv. This woman became more Usher when she became a Nida. Becoming a Nida banned her from her husband. So since it banned her from her husband, it now is Chal and everybody, because that's Isser Maisiv. She became Usher to more people, to one more person. The only person she was allowed to live with was her husband. Now, by becoming an Edom, she can't live with him either. Kailu means that the person becomes usher and more women. She now became usher to more men. She is the object of the usher. She's now usher to the one person she was mutter before. So it's maisif in her. She is now usher to more people. Kailu means that the person became usher and more women. Shimon was usher to her, right? Who's the one that's Mazana with her in an unintentionally? Shimon. Shimon was usher to this woman before. Neither didn't make her any more usher to him. He didn't get new women usher. She became Anita. It doesn't affect any other woman. It's not Kyle. He doesn't become usher to more women. She was usher to him already. She was his Aishatish. She was an Aishatach. She was an Akhaisisha. Now she became usher to her husband. Since she becomes usher to her husband as Anita, she becomes usher to every other man as Anita too. That's Isser Maisav. Read it inside. Migadi Taitsav, Isser Allah Lagabi Baila Mishim Nida, Itaitsav Anami Isser Lagabi Shimon, Hari Isser Maisav. So therefore, in order to be Chayav for Katas, you have to hold a Bat Achas, Kailu, and Maisav. Because if not, it wouldn't work. Again, why? Because when Reuven marries Rachel, at that moment she becomes an Eishes Ish and Shimon's Eishes Ach, simultaneous. If you hold them by two Isurim simultaneous, both are not Chal, then only one of the two would be Chal. And our Mishnah says two Chatos for that. Rukhiya says two Chatos. That means, obviously, they're both there. Then Shimon marries her sister. But Rachel was offered to him anyway before. Why is the Isser Chal? The answer is because Shimon becomes usher to more sisters. So that's Kaitel. That's like Yom Kippur on the Vela. He becomes usher to more food. He becomes usher to more women. So it's Chal on her too. So therefore now it's three. Then she becomes Anita. The one man she was mutter to, she becomes usher to. So she became more usher. So just like she becomes Anita to her husband, she becomes Anita to every other man. So now when Shimon is Mazana with her under these circumstances, right? B'shagig, all four were B'shagig, even the Nida. Then you bring four Chatos. Each participant, Shimon brings four, she brings four, Reuven, who did it the same with Shimon's wife, him, and the woman would have to bring four as well. That's what the Gemara says. So let's read it inside. Man Haitana de Islay, Isser Kail, Isser Maisav, Isser Matachas. Who is this Tana? I'm Rav Yehuda Merav, Rav Meir. It's Rav Meir. The Tanya. And we're going to have a similar case we're going to have a whole gathering of Isurim and their Chau, and we're going to be able to prove all three. Maisiv, Kail, Basachat. Netanya. Yes, Eichel, Achila, Achat. There's a person that can eat one food. Chayiv, Alei, Arba, Chatas, V'Ashem, Echad. He'd be Chayiv, four Karma, Chatases, and one Asham. For one eating. How? Tamei, he's a man that's Tamei. Sha'achu Chaylev, he ate fat, which is prohibited. Who nicer? It also happened to be Kachim that was not brought on the Mizbeach at the right time, so it is nicer, which is also Karas. Mimugdashim, it was left over from a carbon. B'yoy Makiburim, and he ate it on Yom Kippur. So he's either four Krisis. He's a Tamei that ate Kachim. He's a person that ate nicer. This is all Chai V'Karas. He's a person that ate Chaylev. And he's a person that ate a Yom Kippur. And he was Mayo Behegdish. Because this Chaylev has Me'ilah on it. You're not allowed to use it in that pleasure. For Me'ilah, he did this all B'Shaykh. Me'ilah, you bring an Asham. And for the four that I mentioned, which is Tamei eating Kachim, person eating Chaylev, person eating nicer, and a person eating a Yom Kippur, it's four Chataz. So it's four Chataz and one Asham. The Meir Eimer, in Haisha Shabbos, Vaitziya Beviv, if it was Shabbos and he carried it in his mouth, he walked in the street in which the Rabbim was it while he was eating, Chayiv. He would be Chayiv a fifth Chataz for carrying on Shagig, on Shabbos. Amrulai, Einim and Hashem. They told them that's not part of eating, that's a separate issue of carrying. Now, Rashi is going to explain to us how these Yisurim are chal on each other. Because they're, again, multiple Yisurim, and we say, Ein Yisur chal al Yisur. Let's read Rashi. Arba Chatoas, Mishim Tuma. The Aich Kachim B'Tuma Sagov, B'Karas. One who eats Kachim when he's Tamei, Chayv Karas. Shem Chaylov, feeding Chaylov. Umishim Nitzer, if I'm eating Nitzer. Umishim Yom Kippurim. V'asham me'ilois, and there's an asham of me'ilois, to kayan, even if it's a kayan, the gabi emurim, to the part that's supposed to go to the mizbeach, which is the fat. Zaru is considered a stranger, and he's not allowed to have pleasure, so he's ivory me'ila. In Baisha Shabbos, now Rashi is bothered. If Rameir is worried about carrying, you're not allowed to carry in Yom Kippur. Why did he have to say if it's Shabbos and you carry? He could have said if Yom Kippur and you're walking in the street and eating, you're either carrying. The Trashyam Mishim Mikipurim Havi Mikhayev, Rameir is of the opinion that you're not Chayev for carrying a Yom Kippur. The Ksavar Ein Erev Haitzoliyah Mekipurim. This is a Machlekes, many places in Shas. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. You are allowed to carry on Yom Tov. Are you allowed to carry on Yom Kippur? The Mandiyaman says no, which is the way we pass him. The Mandiyaman says yes. Rameir is of the opinion you can carry a Yom Kippur. Therefore, walking in the street with the item in your mouth is not carrying a Yom Kippur because there's no Isser. Therefore, Rameir said, if it's Shabbos, there's a fifth. Bokhti Mepharish Mekrisis, this is how the Gemara explains it in Krisis, that Rameir holds that you're allowed to carry on Yom Kippur. Alma, Isvah Rameir Kulu. Rameir holds simultaneous, Kailu, and Maisa. Where do we see this? When this animal was created, and it was still chulin, nesr chelba b'achila, the chelav was usher. As soon as an animal was born, you're not allowed to eat its fat. There's an isser chelav. However, there's no isser to have pleasure from it. A person is not allowed to eat chelav, right? A person, they shecht a cow, you can eat the meat, but you can't eat the chelav. Chelav is there from the minute the animal is born. But you can sell the chelav, you can make soap out of the chelav. You can do other things with the chaylev. You can use it as fuel. There's no isser hanah. Hugdisha. Then the guy donated the animal to Hegdish. At that moment, it was a new isser that came in the chaylev. The chaylev became more usser. It became from isser achila to isser hanah. So migudi types of isser hanah la chaylev vishum kachem. Since the chaylev became more usser, he types of nami bay isser achila vishum zaris. So now, it's usher to eat because it's kachim. Because you see, kachim added isser to the chaylev. And anytime an isser is added, that is called isser maisiv. So kachim is chal on the chaylev. because it added an issue to the caleb. The caleb became more usher. So when the person eats it, he's now violating two things, eating caleb and eating kachim, because the kachim was chal, because it added a new dimension of hanor. We have a gab to usher v'koy v'achila, even though he was usher to eat it beforehand. But since the second isser added an isser to the item, that is called isser maisiv, and it becomes usser. Habilei nicer, then it's left over, wasn't put on the mizbeach. So now, you're not allowed to put it on the mizbeach anymore. So now a new isser was added to this fat. Not only can't you eat it, and not only can't you have pleasure from it, but you also can't put it on the mizbeach. So that's a new isser maisiv. A new dimension was added to this fat. So begin to have a, just like, I'm sorry, Mises, he types of Islam is Mayach Mishim Nicer. He types of Nami Lakaya Mishim Nicer. So this is also Mysa. Harahanach Trey Mishim Isser Mysa. So at this point, we're up to three. Can't eat Chalev? That was the first Isser. He donated it to Hegdish, right? That became Me'ilah. Not allowed to eat it. I was ready to eat beforehand, but since a new dimension of pleasure was added, the Isser of pleasure, so the second Isser is Chal. It became nicer. Now you can't even put it on the Mizbeach. So a new dimension of Isser was added, the Isser to the Mizbeach. That is called Isser Maitzev.
So the last two are both Isser, right?
Both are Maitzev.
That's what we had before.
Right? So this is a different case. Yeah, 100%. Nitmezeh, now this guy became Tamei. He was allowed to eat kachim. This man was allowed to eat other kachim, but he became Tamei. So now he became Usher in more kachim. That's Kaitel. When he becomes Tamei, he becomes Usher to eat any kachim. So that's Kaitel. Akshav Nasir Beham Yigit the Mitzvah Shach Hatikas Mishum Tuma, Nasir Nami Bezum Mishum Tuma. Just like he can't eat the rest of the pieces of kachim, he can't eat this chalev, which is nicer, right? Which is kachim, which is nicer. He can't eat it because he's tamei, because the isser tumah was kailo. It added him in more pieces. Behind no isser kailo. So far we've proven maisiv and kailo. Now, habilei yom kippur. Now it became yom kippur. Right, migu de mitzvah bechulam mishum yom kippurim. He becomes also to eat peanut butter and ketchup and pickles and steak and chicken and cereal, Rice Krispies, mishum yom kippur. Also nami bekachim mishum yom kippur. This is also kail. Why the nami yisr kail? Because he becomes also more foods. So far we saw maisiv and kail twice, each one twice. But now Rameir says he's high for carrying on Shabbos. Shabbos was chal the same moment as Yom Kippur. The minute it turned Yom Kippur, it turned Shabbos. And we're saying he's chai for Yom Kippur eating and for Shabbos carrying. That came simultaneously. Right? Chayo, the Kiddush Hayayim, when it turned dark, chalu av Isser Achilas Yom Kippur, Yom Shabbos. So here we have Rameyer that teaches us that he holds Basachas, Kail and Maisav. He showed us Maisav twice, he showed us Kail twice, and he showed us Basachas once. And again, the animal was created, it was Chalev. It's the number one. He donated it to Hegdish, the Chalev became more Usher. That is Maisav. So he's now Usher to eat this Chalev for two reasons. It's Chalev and it's Hegdish. That's Chayv and Asham. We're doing your B'shagim. It became nicer. Now the chaylev is also to the mizbeach. Maisif number two. It became more aser. So he can't eat this piece because it's chaylev, it's kaidish, and it's nicer. Two of them are karas. Chaylev and nicer are karas. And therefore they get chatas. Hegdish is a mi'ila. He brings in asham. He now becomes tameh. So now he can't eat kachim. He becomes more aser. So we say since he becomes more aser to other kachim, he becomes usher to this one also. That is kailul. So now he's got his fourth. Third karis, his fourth carbon. One for kailul, one for nicer, one for Tameh, eating Kaidesh, and the Me'ilah, which is an Asham. It turns Yom Kippur, now he can't eat Rice Krispies. So since he can't eat Rice Krispies, it's Kailul, and it's Chal, now he can't eat this Chalav either. So when he eats this Chalav, he's violating Chalav, Nicer, Tameh eating Kachim, and eating on Yom Kippur, and Me'ilah, which is what the Tanakhama said, four Katas and one Asham. Comes along Reb Meir, he says, if it's Shabbos, he's chayav for carrying. But isn't Shabbos and Kippur come simultaneous? So how can both be chal? The answer is, simultaneous is chal. And therefore he's chayav for carrying on Shabbos. That is how we prove the Reb Meir holds all three. So this Reb Meir holds, there's no Isser carrying on Yom Kippur. What? No, we don't pass to it. Jesus doesn't like Rashi's chat, just want to point it out, because Titus learns carrying and eating are not called simultaneous. They're totally different parts, things. Simultaneous means it's us to eat for two reasons. To say Shabbos and Yom Kippur came together and you can't carry on Shabbos and you can't eat on Yom Kippur, it's two actions. That's not called Isser Basachas. Isser Basachas, Titus claims, is if you can't eat because of two things, that's Isser Basachas. Here, you can't eat because it's Yom Kippur, and you can't carry because it's Shabbos. Titus doesn't do that as Isser Basachas. So therefore, he has a whole different shot in the Gemara, and we're not going to get involved. Okay. So we found the Tana of our Mishnah. The Tana of our Mishnah is Reb Meir. Reb Meir holds a Kol Maitzev Basachas, which is exactly what our Mishnah said. So the Tana of our Mishnah is Reb Meir. Now, there's a Machloikis throughout Shabbos that we had back in Masechet Shabbos, way back. And that is called Tor B'Dvar Mitzvah. You intended to do a mitzvah, and you ended up doing an Aveira, do you bring a carbon? It's Machloikis, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Eliezer. The guy had two kids to mow. One was supposed to be mowed on Friday, and one was supposed to be mowed on Shabbos. By mistake, he mowed the Friday one on Shabbos. Did a mitzvah. Did a bris. But he wanted to do a mitzvah. He made a mistake. He wasn't allowed to do that mitzvah. Friday's bris is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. He made a mistake. And Yeshua says no carbon. A Tor B'Dvar mitzvah doesn't bring a carbon. Rabbi Eliezer says a Tor B'Dvar mitzvah does bring a carbon.
He did which one on Shabbos?
He did the Friday one on Shabbos.
Oh, there's still the mitzvah.
Or the other way. Let's do it the other way. It's better. It's a better raya. The Gemara says over there, Rabbi Yeshua says he did the Sunday one on Shabbos. He wanted to mild the Shabbos one. And by mistake, he mild the 7 day old.
So no mitzvah.
But he wanted to do a mitzvah. His intention was to do a mitzvah. He thought this was the Shabbos one.
Okay.
Rabbi Yeshua says no carbon. He's a tov b'dvar mitzvah. He wanted to do a mitzvah. He made a mistake. So he doesn't bring a carb. That's what Yeshua says. You want to do a mitzvah? You don't bring a carb. In our mitzvah, these two people wanted to marry. They wanted to do a mitzvah. Reuben thought he was marrying his wife, and Shimon thought he was marrying his own wife. And by mistake, they married each other's wives. They lived with each other's wives. They intended to do a mitzvah.
Which mitzvah?
Marrying. Marriage is a mitzvah, pru
urvu. They were
that's not the mitzvah completely. The part two of the mitzvah is getting married, consummating the marriage.
What's the word, I always forgot those words. To make the world populous.
Shabbat.
That's what we're talking about?
No. We're talking about the mitzvah of pru urvu, having children.
Well,
in order to have children, one has to get married. So, it's the legal way to have... When the Torah tells a mitzvah approval, what does the Torah want the guy to do? The Torah told the person to have children. What does the Torah want the guy to do?
The person has a child out of wedlock.
Again, what does the Torah want the guy to do? What is his mitzvah? When the Torah said, go have children, what did the Torah want the guy to do?
No,
What is the mitzvah to do? What is he supposed to do now?
Well, after he has a child.
No. What does the Torah command him now to do?
Consummate the marriage.
That's a mitzvah. It's part of a mitzvah. It's an act of mitzvah. So according to Yeshua, there should be no carbon in our Mishnah. Here are two people who wanted to do a mitzvah, ended up doing four averes. According to Yeshua, we should say, listen, these people wanted to do a mitzvah. They made a mistake. They don't bring a carbon. A carbon to our mitzvah doesn't bring a carbon. It's like doing the Sunday bris on Shabbos. Something about Rabbi Meir Lieber the Mach. Who does Rabbi Meir agree to?
Rabbi, is it correct to say that getting married is a Hechsher mitzvah?
It's all a mitzvah. No, it's not a Hechsher mitzvah. It's the act of mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah all by itself. It's not just for pur vu.
Again, anything that I have to do the mitzvah, is the mitzvah. What does the Torah want me to do?
Rabbi, is going to Yerushalayim to bring a carbon the mitzvah of bringing a carbon?
I'm sorry?
To bring a carbon, I have to go to the base of Migdash. To bring a carbon, I need to go to the base of Migdash. Is me going to Yerushalayim to go to the base of Migdash part of the mitzvah of Karbanos?
No.
Because you
can live in Yerushalayim, and therefore you don't. That's only to get to Yerushalayim. That's called a Hechsher mitzvah.
Okay. What about entering the base of Migdash before I bring the carbon?
There's no mitzvah to go to the base of Migdash. If you're in the base of Migdash, you bring the carbon. See?
No. Again,
let me try to explain.
I think that's the
when I buy an esrei. When I buy an esrig, it's a Hechsher mitzvah. I could have an esrig tree in my backyard. I don't have to buy an esrig. My mitzvah is to shake the esrig with the lulav. I don't have to acquire one. There's no mitzvah for me to acquire one. It's in order for me to be able to do the mitzvah, I have to precede it with an act. But if the only way to do the mitzvah is to do A, B, and C, then they're all the act of mitzvah.
So is entering the base of Migdash part of the carbon? That's a necessary act. I can't have a base of Migdash in my backyard.
Send the carbon up. You don't have to go there.
Really?
You don't have to be there.
Okay, but somebody has to be there. Whoever's bringing the carbon for me has to bring it there.
Again, but that's not my mitzvah. My mitzvah is to bring the carbon. It does not require me to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a Hechsher mitzvah. It's a preparatory stage for a mitzvah. It's not a necessary act.
When the Kohen Gadol changes clothes before doing certain things on Yom Kippur,
that's a mitzvah.
All those steps are mitzvahs. Okay, I'll give up. I Rabbi Cohen's question very much resonated with me, but I think I understand.
Is Kedusha a Hechsher mitzvah?
Forgot his question.
Is Kedusha a Hechsher mitzvah?
I would say, that one, yeah. Okay, I remember that. Zalti Gemara Nachamo, but I may or leave it a man. He leave it to Yeshua. I'm a Tabit Rabbi Tzipatzer. Ella leave it to Eliezer. He holds like Eliezer. Who says that when you do a bris on Shabbos on a Sunday baby, you are chayiv a carbon? He doesn't agree to the concept of tov and varmitz. Rashi, Rameir liba the man. Kleiber, he discovered Rameir il kai gavna ischal al iser. Even though Rameir holds that in this case all yisur mechal miyuhechet kemeschavu with varmitz, this isha, he's being mechavin to marry a woman, to mamar Rabbi Tzirla. Which one of his rebbeim does he hold like? In the question of a person who wanted to do a mitzvah but didn't carry it out. The Perek Rabbi Eliezer, the Mila, in Perek number 19. Tanya has them in Gemara. Mishar l'shnei tinaikas, echad lamu b'shabbos, echad lamu b'echad b'shabbos. He had two children. One to do a bris on Friday, and one to do a bris, I'm sorry, one to do a bris on Shabbos, and one to do it on Sunday. B'shachach umol shal echad b'shabbos b'shabbos. And by mistake, he mouled the Sunday one on Shabbos. Dainu nabi tov b'dvar mitzvah l'yot mitzvah. Tadayin lo yehi ezman, the time hasn't come. Paiter b'yishua. So who does he hold back? The answer is he must hold back Rabbi Yehuda. Something tomorrow, another terrorist. No. Ibo Yisrael Meloi Lamali with Rabbi Yeshua. I can answer you that he agrees to Rabbi Yeshua. He come Rabbi Yeshua Tabit Bar Mitzvah. Pater, Hani Mili Gabi Tanaikas is Mani Bohu. Abel Hai, Kivin Dates Mani Bohu Loi. Over there, he has a limited time for the mitzvah. The Torah says do the mitzvah on the eighth day. He has Now, he's in a rush. He's got to do the mitzvah today. There's a pressure. So therefore, by mistake, he took the wrong kid. We say he's butter. Here, he had no rush to do this marriage. Could have done the marriage the next day, the next day. He could have taken his time. There was no pressure. Therefore, Talmud bar mitzvah would not apply here. And even Rabbi Shua would agree that you bring a chatas. Rashi. B'bayi zayma. I'm sorry, this is Mani Bo. He had a time constraint. The bris has to be done today. Therefore, mistake is excusable based on pressure. Doesn't have to get married today. He should have been more careful.
What happened to
this
reason
for you? That's not enough of a reason to say Talmud Bar Mitzvah. That's what we're saying. You're 100% right. Even those reasons, Magdim and Lemitzvah, but over here, you're right. But the bottom line is, you have to weigh that and being careful. By bris, you don't have that time possibility of being so careful because you're under pressure. That's what it's saying. That is, like the Gemara, that answer is not true. Zahari Truma, like Truma, the Ein Zmani Bo. There's no pressure to eat truma today. The kapater. And yet your Yeshua says, Talmud Bar Mitzvah is butter. The Dan, Hayaychu Betruma, Benaydishu Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. The Kayan is eating truma. And then two Hayden came in and said, by the way, your mother was a Grusha when she conceived you. And therefore, you can't eat truma. You're a Chalo. Rabbi Eliezer, Mechayim Karim Mechayimish. Rabbi Eliezer says, gotta pay for all the truma that he ate. Because retroactively, he was never a kosher kayan. All the truma that he ate, he has to reimburse. It's a shaygig. He has to reimburse the principal plus 25%. And again, chaymish is 25%, which is a fifth of the total. If I have four pieces of cake, and I add one more piece of cake, that one piece that I added is now a fifth, even though I added a fourth. You add a fourth, you get a fifth. So when it says to add a chaymish, it means add a fourth, which ends up being a fifth. So if he ate $1,000 worth of truma in his life, he would have to pay back $1,250. Rabbi Shua Paiter, because he was a Talmud Bar Mitzvah. He wanted to do the mitzvah of eating truma. It's a mitzvah for a client to eat truma. So now, you're blaming him for trying to do a mitzvah? Now, there was no time pressure there. There was no time pressure. So if there's no time pressure, why don't we say to him, you should check out your genealogy, whether you're a Ben Grusha or not. There was no pressure in you. We're talking about he was eating truma on Erev Pesach. It was chametz. He was under a lot of pressure. He had to eat it before 11 o'clock in the morning. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says he was a Talmud Bar Mitzvah. He didn't have time to check it out because I guess this was the first time he ate truma. Because he was under pressure. Rashi, this Mani Bo, we did it already. Truma Bar Pesach's Mani Bo, so like the Sarif, he shouldn't have to burn it.
Rabbi, this Kohen never had the mitzvah because he was never eligible for the mitzvah, whether he knew it or not. So how is this situation like the other ones during an attempted mitzvah? He was never permitted to perform this mitzvah. He just didn't know it.
I'm thinking.
Oh,
well. I heard it. I'm trying to formulate my answer. I guess a baby on the seventh day, there's also no mitzvah to mal. And yet we say he attempted to do a mitzvah. So you'll answer me, but he had a mitzvah of mauling kids. He
yes.
just got the wrong one.
Right. So he was eligible to do it. He just messed it up. This Kohen never was eligible to do it. So the mitzvah he was attempting to do, he never had the basic eligibility for. So how is that?
I don't have a good answer to the question, but Rabbi Shua still considers him a Tavit Bar Mitzvah. That, Rabbi, strengthens the question, the Gemara's question. You're asking on Rabbi Shua, why should I consider him a Tavit Bar Mitzvah?
Yes.
He never had the mitzvah. That's a good question. I don't have a good answer. I mean, obviously, Rabbi Shua says the attempt to do a mitzvah that he thinks he's supposed to do is also enough to be considered a Tavit Bar Mitzvah. Your question is why? I don't have a good answer. But it doesn't affect our Gemara, because our Gemara, if Rabbi Shua says it's there, for sure he should say by marriage.
No. I understand. I just didn't understand this example, why it's...
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for you.
Okay.
So that is what the Gemara is saying. Our Mishnah is like Remeir. Remeir holds that Issus Chal Al Iser. Batachas, Moisev, Koilel. Right? We proved Remeir holds that way. We got involved in Tavit Bar Mitzvah. We said the Remeir holds that Gabeliezer, one answer, that Tavit Bar Mitzvah is not does not absolve him from bringing a carbon. Then in the second answer we said that there's a difference between a mitzvah with pressure and a mitzvah without pressure. That's what we have said till now. Anybody say, if you want, I can tell you, B'Isra Basachas. All these four happened at the same moment. Eishes Ish, Eishes Ach, Achais Isha, and Nida. How does that work? So the truth is, three of them are easy. Reuven and Shimon made the same Shliach to be Mekadesh, Rachel, and Leah. So when Reuven and Shimon made one Shliach, and Rachel and Leah made another Shliach to accept the Kedushin. So at the same moment, the man's shliach hands the item to the woman's shliach. Both kedushins are chal simultaneously. All three surim kick in at the same moment. Eishes Ish, Eishes Ach, Achais Isha. The problem is Nida. Nida either came before or came after. They didn't turn a Nida the exact same moment as the kedushin took place. Right? The fourth one is the problem. Three of them, you can say, happened simultaneously. But Nida, the problem, we will leave it in Mitzvah. We'll discuss it tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful day.